Take your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. We're going to look this morning at cultivating a spirit of thankfulness or gratitude. Before we do that, I do need a volunteer to come and help me, someone who would deem themselves to be under the age of 15 and would think that they're rather intelligent, maybe even more intelligent than most. And your hands are all up. Way to go, you guys. That's the kind of confidence I like. I've used you before. I need somebody new. Who has not helped me before? Okay, come on up. Come on up. No! Come on. You can handle it. Trust me. Trust me. You can handle it. You can handle it. Okay. Okay, come on up. And you're from Dexter, right? And what's your name? Tell everybody.
Travis.
Travis from Dexter is here. And you're a pretty smart... Your hand wasn't up, though, was it? No, somebody pointed you out. Are you a pretty smart guy? Is he a pretty smart guy, Jeff? He's pretty smart? Yeah, okay. Can you look around the plat? Now, most of you can't see this. Can you look around up here and see if you think there's something that might be out of place?
No.
That right there? Yeah, take a look at that. Would you do that? Just take a look.
I see it.
No. Pick it up. Pick it up. Pick it up. Take a look. Take a look at that. What's it look like at first glance?
Piece of paper.
Trash. Looks like trash. That's right. What do we got there?
A note.
What is that? It's a treasure map.
Okay.
It's a treasure map.
I guess you're saying it's a treasure
map. It's a treasure map. It's a treasure map. So where are you on the treasure map?
Right there.
Right there. And what does the treasure map say to do?
Go to the back and come to the pew.
Go for it. See what happens. Yep. What did you find? Hidden treasure! What are the chances? Okay, you can take that. Well, why don't we have a look? Let's see what hidden treasure looks like. Mm-hmm. Excellent! Yes, now after the service, you're supposed to share. Thank you for your help. I am really thankful for a church that is so conscientious about the facility that an illustration like this is almost impossible to pull off because people keep picking up your trash. On numerous occasions, I had to redeposit my trash because people are like, oh, look at that. I got to pick that up. So way to go, you guys. You're noticing these things. So the average person, Travis... The average person is reluctant to expect good things to come from trash. If that piece of paper was lying on the floor like it was, several of you already picked it up, but your immediate thought was to put it in the trash can. And if we were out in the street and I told you to pick up the same piece of paper, you would be reluctant to do it, but you might say, okay, you would never think it was a treasure map, but in here maybe it was. And you went to the back and looked under the pew because you trusted my benevolence. You thought, well... I mean, he is the pastor. It is a sermon illustration. It does sort of look like a treasure map. And I suppose I have nothing to lose by following it. Therefore, I'll go back. And sure enough, you found some treasure back there. And if you were at home and the same thing happened, mom, what would a mom said? Be sure to say, thank you. You're welcome, Travis. You're very welcome. The reality is, oftentimes for us, we have to understand that the circumstances and situations and the map that we follow in life comes from the loving, kind heart and hand of a benevolent God, or we find ourselves discouraged or reluctant to embrace the path or mission that He has us on. So the key to us understanding and following God and being grateful and being thankful for every circumstance in life, like 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, is understanding several things. And so this morning we want to look at cultivating an attitude of gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is a very simple and short verse, and it says, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It is the will of God for you to be thankful. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, would you please give us some tips, some clues, some conviction this morning about ways that we can be thankful to you for how much you have done for us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look this morning at three things. I want to look at the basis of thankfulness. I want to look at the barrier to thankfulness. And I want to look at the benefit of thankfulness. Number one, the basis of thankfulness. What is it? The basis of thankfulness in your life is the grace of God. For everything in your life for which you give thanks, should be thankful, are commanded by God to be thankful. For every one of those things, it is the grace of God that forms the foundation for those things. If you form the foundation of your thankfulness off something that's not a foundation but merely a facade, you're going to be disappointed. So that if I have a building that's crumbling down, it could be that I have some brick that needs some mortar, or maybe some nails rusted out, or maybe there's been some storm damage and I can rework the facade and I'm okay. But once the foundation crumbles away from the building, all the rest of the work I do in the facade is eventually going to crumble. And so in my life, in my relationship with God, when I understand what it means to be thankful, I have to understand the basis of my thankfulness, the foundation platform of where I draw thankfulness out of my heart to life, to God, to my friends and neighbors, is when I understand the grace of God. Without the grace of God, without an understanding of the grace of God, without embracing the grace of God, it's impossible to be thankful as you ought. Psalms 107 Verse 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." 2 Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "Therefore, as you've received Christ, walk in Him, overflowing with thankfulness." Ephesians 5:3, "We should not have coarse or foolish talk or crude joking, but rather we should give thanks." Ephesians 5:19, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music to the Lord in your heart, always giving thanks for everything." And by the way, that's the third of a command, a series of commands following being filled with the Spirit. And that tells you one of the things it looks like to be filled with the Spirit is to always be giving thanks. Think about your life right now. Think about this morning, yesterday, this week, this month. Are you thankful for everything? Everything. Are you thankful for everything? If not, you have to cultivate an understanding in your life of the rich and deep and marvelous grace of God in your life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when they got together, chapter 14 is talking about a lot of stuff, but it indicates in the end of the chapter that one of the things that they did when they got together, when they worshiped, is they were always giving thanks. And so Paul refers to that when he wrote 1 Corinthians, like, when you do this, you know, do this, and this shouldn't happen, and this shouldn't. When you get together to give thanks. Because it was a part of getting together. One of the reasons that we get together and worship is to be thankful. And thankfulness somehow should always be a part of our worship, to acknowledge God as who He is. I went online and I was searching for tips to be thankful. I thought that would be an interesting source to see what's out there. And I got exactly what I expected. I found a website that had, had 10 tips on how to be thankful. Realize how rich you are. Realize what a healthy and prosperous life you have. Realize what a blessing it is to live in peace. Open your eyes to see good things. Maintain a good things journal. Understand there's positive things and bad things. Have a special session of gratitude. Meet positive people. Focus on giving and decide to be a grateful person. But something is missing in every one of these, because every one of these things on that list that you're to be thankful for, in every way to be thankful, is something about you. And that will never work. The way to have a foundation in life, a basis of deep, ingrained gratitude, is have the foundation of gratitude in your life come from the grace of God in your life. The basis for your thankfulness is the grace of God. If you're thankful for a husband or a wife or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a little baby, that's wonderful. And you should be, and that's okay. But if that's the basis of your thankful heart, it might disappoint you. If the basis of your thankful heart is a really good job that helps you to pay all your bills, you might want to be careful, because that job could be gone. But when the basis of your thankful heart in life for everything is the grace of God in your life, it'll never be taken away. And you can have what the Bible talks is an everlasting, never-ending spirit of thankfulness. Always be overflowing with thankfulness. Your thankfulness will never have the everlasting foundation it needs until the foundation of your thankfulness is the grace of God. No combination of happenings in your life is bad for the Christian because God is sovereign over every incident in your life. We need to understand that seeming aggravations, disappointments in life are merely bumps in the road and the bigger plan that God has for your well-being. And that's difficult, and we can talk about that. And I know when it comes into your life, it's much more difficult. But we know it's true. We know that everything works out together for good for those who love God. And while that might not be the thing to tell someone who just heard the worst news of their entire life, it might actually cause them to be hurt or offended or might make them think you're kind of callous. It's a very good thing for us to talk about now before that event happens so that we know it's true in our minds and we don't have to be told. So that when I get the really bad news or the hard news or the phone call I don't want to get, when I get that news, maybe I shouldn't hear at that time that all things work together for good, but I should know that deep in my heart that because of the grace of God in my life, all things do indeed work out for good. And when my hard time or my bump in the road comes, I can embrace that and be thankful because I trust the grace of God. It's the foundation of my thankfulness. Now, we should be thankful for everything else. We should be thankful for a warm church and friends and neighbors and nice clothes and jobs. But the foundation of our thankfulness should be the grace of God. So the question then is, what would be the barrier of thankfulness? I think if you were to think about it for a minute and take a few guesses, we'd get it pretty easy. The barrier to thankfulness is pride. The barrier to thankfulness is pride. If you are categorized by unthankfulness, if you know people that are, if you can think of people who are never satisfied or never happy or never thankful, they clearly have a pride problem. When you're unable to acknowledge the grace of God and see the marvelous things He's done and the creation He provides, which screams out His praise and glory, and the life and breath that He gives you that He does not have to. God is not obligated to give you your next breath, but He does. When you see the grace of God working out in your life and you refuse to acknowledge it, that's pride and arrogance. And by the way, that's the characteristic sin of an unsaved person, someone who doesn't love and know and serve God. Romans 1 tells us that. Romans 1 verse 20 says, ever since the creation of the world, His, that's God, God's invisible nature, His eternal power and deity have been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. The truth of God's existence, Romans 1 said, is pretty obvious. Verse 21 says, so they, referring to those who refuse to believe, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God, nor did they give thanks. Unsaved unbelievers, apart from that time when God begins to draw that person to salvation, they're ungrateful to God. They think, what's God done for me? What do I owe God? The reality is that an ungrateful heart is characteristic of those who are unregenerate, and it would be spiritually abnormal to be unthankful. I took a couple of abnormal psychology classes when I got my bachelor's in counseling, and I remember going through them because all of these, I mean, there's all kinds of, page after page, week after week of going through this abnormal, so this is normal psychology, and if a person is like this or thinks this is abnormal, and I thought to myself, all these letters and all these, the OCD and ACD and all this ABC stuff, and I thought, some people have GDD, gratitude deficit disorder. I don't want to have that. I don't want to be the guy that's got GDD. I don't want to have a deficit of gratitude. I want to understand the grace of God's the foundation of every gratitude, every thankful thought I have in my heart. I want to embrace that so much. I don't have the pride to think, oh, God's given me a bum deal on this, or God wasn't watching when that happened, or God didn't notice that, or God wasn't paying attention, or God hasn't been kind or good to me, and I know that's not true. Friends, don't have GDD. Don't have gratitude deficit disorder. Proud people don't say thanks. Proud people don't say thanks because they expect to get what they got, and when they don't get it, they're unhappy or unthankful or ungrateful. And a Christian who understands what I have to offer God, what you have to offer God, not very much. When you understand what we have to offer God and what He has given to us in free forgiveness and salvation and love and grace and mercy, when we understand that, we realize we have received so much that we don't deserve. We would be thankful for the smallest thing that comes into our life. Now, I know that sometimes you just forget, and it's not hard to forget to say thank you, but as a rule, Christians especially ought to be the most grateful people on earth because we have been so blessed, and we're the ones who know that we had so little to offer and God has been so gracious. Proud people don't say thanks. The reason that the human heart, when it's unregenerate, doesn't say thanks is because it's too humbling. It's too humbling to admit that God is out there and He's big and He made the earth and He made the sea and I owe Him my allegiance. It's too humbling to admit that God's the one who made me and that if I don't submit to Him and follow Him and do what He says, I'm being rebellious. From sea to shining sea, creation shouts that God has eternal power. Creation shouts that God is infinitely marvelous, that God is the maker of all things, and that we are utterly dependent upon His free choices to sustain our life or not. And we should therefore glorify God in our lives and not ourselves. And if we don't, that's human pride. Friends, don't be too prideful to be thankful. Don't take the grace, the foundation of your thankfulness, don't take the grace of God for granted. Don't test His goodness by being whiny or unthankful or critical. Thirdly, the benefit of thanksgiving is joy. The benefit of thanksgiving is joy. In sort of a small way, I suppose, the result of the treasure hunt to find the bag of Starburst, there was some pleasure there. It could have been sort of been a mean joke, and it could have been something that's not fun, and I could have tried to get a laugh. But the reality was that he found the bag of Starburst, and well, that's nice. I hope, do you like Starburst? Yeah, good. Okay, like Starburst. That's good. And so that he found the list and followed it out and followed the treasure map when he was sort of reluctant. He's like, oh, this is kind of embarrassing. I'm going to do this. But he found it. And that he found that, and then he was joyful and thankful that he found something of value. And the reality is that we become thankful for every little thing in our lives that God does for us. Our thanks drives our joy. That's what happens. As I understand what I would lack without God, what I don't have without God, what I have to offer Him, as I understand that, I am more and more thankful. And as I become thankful for so much that God has done for me, I begin to become a joyful, happy person. So the question might be then, if I'm generally unhappy or don't have a lot of joy, maybe I'm not being thankful for the many things that God has done for me. When someone is aware of the love, the same love that the Father has for Jesus, that He has for them, for me, for us, then that person just becomes spontaneously grateful. Cries of thankfulness become the dominant characteristic of the interior life and the byproduct of gratitude. What happens when there is a deep sense of gratitude from the foundation of grace is there is joy in one's life. And that's how the Bible can say over and over and over again, be thankful for everything. Let me give you a little test of your gratitude. Think with me, if you would please, of something delightful or wonderful or marvelous that's happened recently in your life. Maybe it was a raise or a promotion or something new or a new little one that came into your family. We've got so many in this church. It's so exciting to see all the little babies around here. Think of what happens and think of what your response is to when that thing happens in your life. It's all you can talk about. And we see you come into the room and it's like, oh wow, it's the new little one, or when it's that purchase that you've been saving up for a long, long time and you can't wait to show someone, or when you've been working and maybe even praying about their promotion or the position for weeks or months or maybe a year, and it comes along and you can't wait to find someone and say, you're never going to believe it, but what we've been praying about that came true and I got the promotion, or some have been praying for a job and maybe for months or maybe even a year praying for a job, and it comes along and you can't wait to say, hey, okay, I got it. It was provided to me. God gave me the job that we've been praying for. And it's so easy for us to be exuberant about those things, about the purchase or the little one or the job or the promotion. And the reality is so often we should think more like that about the good things that God brings into our life. And so maybe we get up in the morning, and I've heard some of you do this, and say, isn't it just a wonderful day to be alive? God is so good. Yeah, it's true. It is. And wow, it's not a contest about who prays for lunch, but God's put this whole entire spread for us. And I ate out at the Green Mill last night. I had the most wonderful chicken I've ever had. It was this chicken with like sauce on it. And I'm like, this is the best chicken I've ever had in my life. And I'm thinking, let's thank you, God, for this chicken. This is awesome. You know, it's like, I really am. I'm thankful to God that we sat there around that table, a number of us at the Green Mill, probably enjoying it, but at some level even taking for granted the wonderful blessing of the friends and the place and the fact that we could even afford to eat out to begin with and wonderful, delightful food. You know what? I'll pray for lunch. God, you've been so good to us, and you know, we're not naked down in Ethiopia looking for a grain of rice. We're sitting here at this feast. We won't even be able to eat it all. God, you're so kind to us. I'll thank you for every meal time and time and time again. Or we come to a service and we worship and we sing songs and we hear the scriptures read and we see the passages of scripture that we're reading and talking about and trying to exposit and looking at the book of John, and to come away and go, wow, God is real. His word is true. I heard it preached. I understand it. That means I'm a believer. Hallelujah. Wasn't the service, wasn't it just wonderful? Not whether or not we made any mistakes. Forget that, because we always make mistakes. But that we came together as the people of God in a warm place to stop and pause just for an hour or so to say, God, we love you and we're thankful. And we just got 19 different ways to show it. Thank you, Lord. That's what should happen in worship. And as you think about this verse in your life and those areas where maybe that hasn't been your testimony, right now in your heart, you might say, you know, God, I've been kind of sore about this thing that happened in my life. I'm really sorry about that. God, forgive me for that. Or, Lord, yeah, I've been bitter about this for a long, long time. And you know what? I know in my heart that your grace has been so real to me that you're going to make everything in my life good. I'm going to trust you for that. I don't want to be prideful. I don't want to be arrogant. I want to trust you. I want to be humble. And God, I know this thing that's been so hard, I know you're going to work it for good. And God, forgive me for being critical or angry or mad about that. God, forgive me, and I trust you, and I am thankful for that. Someone said one time that you know that you have forgiven and removed bitterness away from your life when you're able to be thankful for what happened. I want us to be a people of God like that. I want God to show us His grace so much and to teach it to us that we're able to be thankful like that. No matter what happens in life, friends, you can be thankful because you are forgiven in Christ if you know God and you are loved by God. What would you give up to you lose that? Nothing. God is working in every circumstance in your life. Romans 8:28. God will supply all your needs. Philippians 4:19. God will give you the strength that you need for today, for tomorrow. Philippians 4:13. You are going to live again even though you die. John 11:25. Nothing out there, nothing can snatch you out of the God's hands once you become a believer. John 6, verse 39, God is going to finish the work that He started in your life. Philippians 1:6, God is giving you mercy rather than the justice, and nothing can separate you from God's love. Romans 8:38, nothing can take it away. Hallelujah. Are you thankful for that? Say amen. 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 I want to be thankful. I want to cultivate in my life an attitude of gratitude, a spirit of gratitude. Cultivation is what you do to a plant. There's a young plant out there and it's coming up and the leaves are beginning to form and the sun's coming out and the rain comes down and the plant begins to suck in nutrients. And we do those things to the plant to help it to grow, to help it to be healthy. And we cultivate it by tilling the soil to aerate it. And we pull the weeds out of the way and put some fertilizer. All that's the cultivation of the plant. And we do those things to make a healthy plant. And if you cultivate an attitude, a spirit of gratitude in your life, that'll make you a healthy person. An unthankful person is not a healthy person. You want to have a church full of joy and blessing and happiness and people that love each other? You want a church that grows and flourishes? Then cultivate a people. Cultivate a church full of thankful people. And I want to be one of them. And I want you to be one too. Let's pray. Father, we're going to pause right now. And we're just going to say thank you. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much and caring for us so much and helping us so much and giving us so many benefits that we so easily take for granted. And thank you for giving us each other. And thank you for giving us songs to sing and scriptures to read and sermons to preach and people to listen to them with. Thank you for our families and our friends. And thank you even for the ones who hurt us sometimes because they grow us up. And thank you for assuring us that every single circumstance in our life will work out for good for us if we love you. Thank you for that, Father. Right now in your heart, as you sit in your pew, pause and just silently in your mind, thank God for several things. Thank Him for something that's important. Thank Him for something that's brought you great joy. And maybe right now, thank God for something that's been hard or difficult for you because you know that God intends to make good out of it. Father, you told us in everything that we are to give thanks because it's your will for us in Christ Jesus. And Father, right now, this moment, we long together to be in your will and to be thankful people. In Jesus' name, amen.